I want to read a psalm to you today. It's Psalm 130. Now, I'm going to speak on this subject, a psalm of forgiveness. I think you'll enjoy this message. I think it'll be a blessing to you. A psalm of forgiveness. This is one of those psalms we ought to memorize and take it around with us all the time. A psalm of David, Psalm 130. Listen to it. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait for the Lord, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This psalm has been a great blessing to the people of God for many centuries. I want to give you some examples of the testimonies of people to whom this psalm was a very, very special blessing. Some of them literally a turning point in their lives. I believe this will even make you more interested in what I have to say about this psalm of forgiveness, Psalm 130. There's a well-known preacher many, many years ago in England named Thomas Guthrie. And he was invited to a village to preach the gospel. And when he got to the village, the people sent him to the local hotel. They called it an inn back then, to find lodging. Well, when he got to the inn where he was going to stay while he preached in this town, there was a man there dying. And the priest had been called to administer what they called the last rites of the church. And Thomas Guthrie witnessed this episode with its ritualism and form and so forth. The last rites was administered to the man. And after the priest left, Thomas Guthrie walked up to the man who was lying there upon the bed, very ill, dying. And he said this to him. He said, "Sir, do you now feel that you have peace with God Almighty?" And he said the man looked at him and replied, "No, sir, I do not. I have no peace with God, and I'm dying with no hope." And Guthrie then opened his Bible to this psalm, Psalm 130. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. O Lord, hear my voice. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Guthrie read this psalm, and he talked to him about the mercy of God, about the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. And while he talked to the man about the grace and mercy of God to sinners in Christ Jesus, he said the man's face just lightened and his heart was lifted and his heart rejoiced in the good news. And he believed the gospel like the eunuch of old, like the thief on the cross, and received saving grace in Christ Jesus. Guthrie stayed with him till he died. And then he went to his room. And he sat down and wrote a letter to his wife. And this is what he said in the letter. "My dear, I have witnessed a miracle this day. I found a man in the state of nature, dead and dying. I saw that man, that same man, in a state of grace, rejoicing in the mercy of God through Christ Jesus. I left that man in a state of glory, like the thief of old, Oh, how great and how marvelous is the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, yea, to the chief of sinners. My dear, pray for me that I shall be the bearer of this good news to many more sinners before God calls me home. Psalm 130. Most of you have heard of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was one of the great, great preachers of the gospel in Germany over 500 years ago. He was one of the key men God used in the Great Reformation. Well, they asked Martin Luther one day, which psalm? There are 150 psalms in the Bible. And they asked him which psalm he considered to be the greatest of all the psalms. This scholar, this student of the Scriptures, this great reformer, this preacher of the gospel. This is interesting, isn't it? I'd be interested to know which psalm he considered to be the greatest of all the psalms. Well, he replied, I don't know that I could single out any one psalm, but I can tell you the three psalms that are the greatest blessing to me. He said it's Psalm 32, and David's Psalm of Repentance, 51, and Psalm 130, my text. Out of the depths have I cried, O Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive to my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. Martin Luther said the greatest of the Psalms is Psalm 130. And while he was down at Coburg going through some of his greatest trials, his deepest persecution and affliction brought upon him by the powers that be because he preached the gospel, his friends gathered about him to encourage him one night, and he smiled and lifted his voice and he said, my friends, come, let us sing Psalm 130. And let us wait on the Lord like those that wait for the morning, and let us hope in His promise. John Owen, I don't suppose there's anybody listening to my voice that hasn't heard of John Owen, one of the greatest writers on Holy Scripture, one of the great preachers of the past. John Owen was talking to a young man by the name of Richard Davis. And he asked Richard Davis this question. He said, young man, in what manner do you hope to go to God? That's a good question. In what manner do you hope to go to God? And Richard Davis himself became an outstanding preacher. He replied, well, Dr. Owen, he said, I plan to go to God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. And John Owen replied, that's easily said. That's easily said. But I assure you, my young friend, it's quite another thing to really go to God through the mediator, Jesus Christ, than most people who use that expression really understand. He said, I know that by experience. For one day, I myself was a preacher of the gospel. I preached Jesus Christ. I preached Jesus Christ the mediator for several years when I personally had very little, if any, experimental knowledge of what it meant to go to God through the mediator. I preached it, but I had very little, if any, real heart understanding and experimental knowledge of what it meant for a sinner to go to God through Jesus Christ, the mediator. But Mr. Davis, God in His grace was pleased to visit me with great affliction. I was literally brought to the mouth of the grave. My soul was oppressed with horror and darkness. But God, listen to this, God relieved my spirit and gave me hope through a powerful application of Psalm 130. I received from Psalm 130 special instruction, special peace, and special comfort in drawing nigh to God through the mediator. And Mr. Davis, after I recovered and was back on my feet, my first sermon, the first sermon I preached was from Psalm 130. Isn't that interesting? Let me give you one more. James Vaughn was a writer admired by Charles Spurgeon. You'll recognize Spurgeon more quickly than James Vaughn. But James Vaughn called Psalm 130 the progress of the soul. The progress of the soul. He said, just as a barometer marks the progress of the weather, so does this psalm, Psalm 130, sentence by sentence, line by line, record the progress of the soul. And if you're really interested, you may test yourself by this psalm as you read each line. Think about it. Out of the depths have I cried. Have you ever been there? Out of the depths? O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? You ever felt that? You ever been burdened and broken by that terrible feeling that God will bring you to account for every sin, and how shall I stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Do you know that to be true? Have you experienced it? I wait for the Lord. My mouth is stopped, and I'm still quietly waiting for the Lord. For in His Word do I hope. Is that your foundation? Is that your rock? Is that your refuge? Have you experienced that? Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy and plenteous redemption. Oh, I tell you, what a psalm. Allow me, in the time we have left, just to take this psalm and comment briefly on each line, each verse, as I'm able to get to it. Take your Bible, open to Psalm 130. I hope when I finish with this message, or sometime in the near future, as God commits this psalm, this message to your own heart, like He did to John Owen, and give you instruction and peace and comfort from His Word and from this psalm in particular. Commit it to memory. Feed upon it. Feast upon it. Rest upon it. Listen to this. What's the first line? Out of the depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. You know what this is? This is conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. What is the depths? Deep, heartfelt conviction of sin. David described it in Psalm 40. He said, innumerable evils have compassed me about. My sins and iniquities have literally taken hold of me. I'm not able to look up. My sins are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. O Lord, be pleased to deliver me. You know something about that? Out of the depths have I cried. What depths? Out of the depths of pride and self? Out of the depths of evil thoughts, evil imaginations? Do you know something about that? Out of the depths of unrest, murmuring, anxiety, covetousness, greed? Out of the depths of doubts and fears, out of the depths of depression and pain and sin, have you been there? I'll tell you this. Deep places beget deep feelings. God does not hear a man simply because he cries. God hears a man who cries out of the depths. You go through the Bible, blind Bartimaeus, cried out of his darkness, out of his inability, out of his blindness. Jesus, thou Son of David, he cried, it said. He cried aloud, have mercy on me. And the people tried to keep him quiet, be still. He cried out the more. He's crying out of the depths, out of the depths. And he was heard out of the depths. The thief on the cross was crying out of the depths. Here's a man dying. He couldn't work. He couldn't wash. He couldn't witness. He couldn't walk. And he couldn't wait. He cried, oh God, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. He cried out of the depths. That's conviction of sin. Notice the next line. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. What is this? This is a sincere cry. Where is he? Crying out of the depths. What's he doing? He's crying unto the Lord. Oh, what mercy is reserved for those who can call upon the name of the Lord. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon me, I will answer, God said. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. This prayer here, this sincere prayer, has the marks, the five marks of a sincere prayer. You know what I believe to be the five marks of a sincere prayer? I said to someone just very recently, wonder how much prayer is real prayer and how much of it's preaching. How much prayer is real prayer and how much of it do we say to impress those about us? How much prayer is real prayer and how much of it is form or duty or ritualism or something else? This is prayer. O Lord, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. This is prayer. This is not reciting a form. This is prayer. God heard this prayer. I'll give you the five marks of a genuine prayer. Here, it's a humble prayer. Out of the depths. Out of the depths. Low down. Down in the depths, down in the valley. Helpless, hopeless, I cry. Another thing about a sincere prayer, it's a fervent prayer. Have I cried unto thee, O Lord? No form there, no ceremony, no duty there. No reciting something we've memorized. I cried unto thee. You know something, you mothers. You go about your house, you've got a couple of children. You hear their little voices in the next room. They're talking, they're singing, they're chattering, they're even arguing. And you don't pay a great deal of attention, but you let one of them cry. Let one of them cry. And you're in that room and next to them in a moment. They've cried. They're in need. It's a fervent. It's a call for help. And that's what a prayer is. It's humble. It's fervent. I tell you this, it's directed to God. He says, Lord, unto thee, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Not to Mary, not to a saint, not to a statue, not to a preacher. Unto thee, O Lord, have I cried. Lord, you hear my voice. You be attentive to the voice of my supplication. This is prayers directed to God. And then it's a reverent prayer. O Lord. O Lord, Lord God of heaven and earth. O Lord, hear my voice. That's what the leper said when Christ came down from the mountain. And he ran to him and fell at his feet and worshiped him and said, Lord, Lord, Master, if you will, you can make me whole. Now, that's a reverent prayer. And then this prayer is personal. O Lord, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Lord, hear my voice. My voice. All right, look at verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? Who shall say? Here's personal judgment. Personal judgment. David judges himself. That's what he's doing here. He doesn't talk like a lot of religious people today, does he? If thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? He admits he's a great sinner who cannot stand on his own before God. I tell you this, no man will ever come to a throne of grace till he's been to a throne of judgment, till he's judged himself. That's what the Scripture says. If we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. No man's going to seek grace until he confesses guilt. No man's going to cry for mercy till he's miserable. This is what David is saying. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, if God should charge, call us to account hold us accountable, hold us responsible for our iniquity, for every idle word, for every evil deed, for every sinful imagination, for every carnal act, for every selfish motive, for every sinful act. Lord, who's going to stand? Can you? Can you? This is personal judgment. We've got to judge ourselves and justify God in His condemnation. If God condemns us, He's just. He's clear when He speaks, David said. I'm guilty. Guilty. Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty. Here is personal judgment. Now, look at verse 4. Thank God for this verse. But there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Out of the depths, conviction of sin, have I cried a sincere call. Lord, if you charge iniquity, if you mark iniquity, I can't stand and nobody else can. But I rejoice that there's forgiveness with thee. Someone said this recently. These two verses contain the whole of the Scripture. Verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? That's sin, universal guilt. There's no difference. All have sinned. Fatal, who can stand? All perish. But the next verse, but there's forgiveness with thee. And my friend, there's salvation, free, full, complete, and eternal. What did Paul write in the book of Ephesians chapter 2? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked, I walked, we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, in the lust of our minds, in the pride of life. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. But God. That's what David's saying here. Lord, if you should mark sin, evil, iniquity, who's going to stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The poet said, Jesus Christ, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy I lift up my head. But there's forgiveness with thee. Isn't that good news? Christ came to save sinners like you and me. If God should mark iniquity, who could stand? But thank God there's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's grace with Him, that He may be feared. Oh, we fear God because of His power and wisdom and glory and greatness. We fear God because we're in God's hands to do with as He sees fit. I fear to miss Christ. I fear to presume on the grace of God. I fear, don't you? Fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom, to fear God. Notice verse 5, but here's hope. Listen, so I wait for the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord, so I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. We look to Him, we wait upon Him, and we hope. We have a good hope. We have a blessed hope. We have a sure hope. We have a living hope, and that hope is a person, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me give you four things which encourage me, a sinner, to wait and hope in the Lord. Four things. All of them have to do with Him. None of them with me. All of them with Him. Here are four things that encourage me. Paul said the chief of sinners, less than the least of all the saints, unworthy to be called an apostle. But here are four things that encourage me. Number one, it's God's will to show mercy. That's right. He said, I will be merciful. I will be gracious. It's His will. Secondly, it's His glory. That's His greatest glory, to show mercy. Moses asked Him, said, Lord, show me Your glory. He said, all right, I'll show you My glory. My glory is My goodness. I'll pass by you and I'll reveal to you My goodness. I will be merciful. I will be gracious. That's God's glory. Thirdly, His power. He's able to save. That's right. He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. I can't break a heart, but He can. I can't give a man a new heart, but He can. I can't save a sinner, but He can. I can't put away your awful guilt and my awful guilt, but He can. I can't write a name in the Lamb's book of life, but He can. He said it's the book which He hath written. He has the power. Paul said that. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to do all that He promised and to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's able. And then I tell you, fourthly, His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Our Lord Jesus rested in the faithfulness of His Father, the faithful promise of His Father. He said, all that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do My will, but the will of Him that sent Me. This is the will, the purpose, the power, the faithfulness of Him that sent Me, that of all which He had given Me, I lose nothing. Raise it up at the last day. Look down at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's plenteous redemption. Plenty. There's never a shortage of grace, never a shortage of mercy, never a shortage of redemption. He's plenteous in redemption. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, write for it. It's entitled A Psalm of Forgiveness, or Psalm 130. There'll be another message on the other side. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you. Then sing.